mais.
Good morning. I just told David I'm sure I don't need this, but I want to apologize for the late start. Jane followed the speed limit coming up. So, no, it was the state of the road that kept us traveling a little bit slower than normal. Thank you for coming out this morning. We'll try to get things going and through in time for everyone to get out to the Christmas parade, if that's where you're headed today. I would, excuse me, I would like to start by asking I'm Kimberly Douglas, the chair of the District Education Council, and I would like to start by asking the rest of the council members to stand and introduce themselves and just briefly what area you hail from. You want to start, Miriam?
I'm Miriam Grant, and I'm sub-district 4, which is Canterbury, because of the more of that. Good morning, I'm Faith Kennedy, from sub-district 11, Grand Lake area, chief of the 12-team region there.
I'm Jane Buckley, I'm from Everton, Northside.
I'm Heather Hogan, and I would be representing Everton in Woodstock.
And we have a few members who are not able to be here today, but have already had a look at Mr. McTominay's presentation and have already had some comments. So I hope that we'll be able to go through quickly with the presentation today. Don't worry about taking a lot of notes. It will be posted online, so if there's anything that you miss, you'll be able to go back and look at it. Today's meeting is for the DEC and for anyone else that's here to hear what information the district has for us about the schools and the surrounding areas. So there will be an opportunity to ask questions, and then when we come back in the new year, there will be an opportunity for the public and the school communities to add to what we heard today. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to keep that to questions after the session is finished. I'll hand over to Mr. McTominay, who will introduce our staff and get going.
Thank you very much, Kimberly, and good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I'll introduce staff that is here today. We have a great crew that's come out. Jay Kolpitz is the Director of Schools for the Woodstock Education Center. And Sean Tracy is the Director of Finance and Administration for all of Anglophone West. We have Daniel Wishart, who's the Manager of Transportation. Angus, Angus, welcome from he's the Director of Facilities for Anglophone West. Judy Cole is the Director of Communications for our school district. Sue Young is the Supervisor of Data and Accountability for our school district. Kyle Harrison is Assistant Manager of Facilities for the Woodstock Education Center. Some great technicians here as well, Mike White and Stacy DeRoche, thanks for being here, making sure our technology works well. Also acknowledged Principal Mitchell Hempel is here. There he is, yes. And a great turnout from staff as well. Thank you very much for coming. Could even acknowledge retired principal, Gerald Sullivan. Welcome back. And of course, Carol Clark Catarini is the Executive Assistant to the Superintendent and District Education Council. Thanks very much to MLA Andrew Harvey for being here today. Thank you. And from down the road, Mayor Carl Curtis from Florenceville, Bristol. Thanks for being here. So today, this morning, I'm going to share some facts about Bath Community School. It's all a part of the process for public meeting number one in a sustainability study. In this case, when I use the term Bath Community School, I suppose there's the potential for some confusion because we're really talking about two buildings but one body of students. So when clarification is required, I'll try and give that, and if you get confused along the way, just ask for that clarification, and I'll provide that to you. So here's the agenda for this morning. We've gone through our introductions. I'll tell you a little bit about Provincial Policy 409, the multi-year school infrastructure planning policy. It's a provincial policy. And then I'll share information about Bath Community School. We'll have an opportunity for some questions and answers, and then I'll share next steps in the process. When we look at Provincial Policy 409, it's as I mentioned, it's a policy within the Department of Education, and it outlines a number of different responsibilities with mostly to do with the facilities within our system. I should mention, by the way, we have a presentation, and the view isn't too bad for most of the slides, I hope, but we do have copies of the presentation that you're welcome to read along. I know a few of the slides, the print will be a little bit smaller. And as mentioned early by Kimberly, this will be posted online either a little bit later today, or depends how Judy finishes out her weekend, she'll get it up online for us. The sections within Policy 409 that are attributable to a sustainability study are sections 6.4 through 6.7. They're the relevant sections. And a big part of the study itself is three public meetings. The first public meeting, which in fact is today for this particular school, is the presentation of information from our district to the District Education Council in a public setting for everyone to hear. Meeting number two is a presentation from stakeholders within the community or the surrounding area, a presentation where those who have an interest in the sustainability of the school can come and take the floor and present to council and share their thoughts on sustainability. And then the third public meeting is a final review of the information by the council and the time when council will make a motion and cast a vote on next steps and a conclusion of the study. For meeting number one and meeting number two, knowing that our sustainability study includes four different school settings, those are all individual meetings. So a total of eight meetings altogether. The third and final meeting will be one meeting, and it will be at Carleton North on Thursday, March 19th, and it's where we'll conclude the study for all four school settings. There are three possible outcomes, three possible general outcomes. There are some different branches, sort of sub-outcomes, I guess, if you wanted to describe them that way. The first one is maintaining the status quo. So that would be to maintain the situation as it stands right now with our K-8 students from this community, either attending school here or attending school next door at what I'll call the former middle school. If that were to take place, I know that it's not as straightforward as status quo for next door because government has some decisions to make. As you might know, government has placed a halt on the renovations that are occurring next door. And I'm sure government is actually quite interested in seeing the outcome of this particular study. A second would be to provide repairs for the Bath Community School. So to invest money to maintain a school setting, whether that's here or next door, but with an investment of money to ensure that the facility is where we want it to be. And then the third would be to close the Bath Community School and include the students in a new K-8 school setting that would be located within the catchment areas that are determined with the major capital construction process. So the concept of a K-8 school as a brand new school to include whether it's four schools or less than four schools, that's a part of the decision-making process that the council needs to consider through this study. And I should note that it's not only the presentations that the council uses to formulate their decision. We're posting reports, we're talking about it, whether it's in a public meeting or whether it's in a working session. So they're doing their homework, they're reading, they're asking questions of me and of staff, but certainly the three public meetings, those are the main points of the study. But there's a lot of work done behind the scenes. Today, the information that we'll present follows along this template. Those are categories that are listed in Provincial Policy 409, and we use it as a guide in this particular presentation. We've been working on this presentation for a couple of months now, fine-tuning it, and had our final meeting about a week ago to complete the last edits. But basically, we've gathered information. Mitchell has helped us considerably in sharing information. Our facilities team, transportation team, budget and accounting team, our educators, everybody contributes to putting this presentation together. Let's start with enrollment, and you can see this enrollment. There are a couple slides here with respect to enrollment, and you can see the lines are just showing trends. It dates back to 1999. The top line is Bath Elementary School, and the bottom line is Bath Middle School, and you can see that those lines go from 1999 to 2014. And you can see the trends there. With the general trend for the elementary was an increase in enrollment in the early 2000s, and then a small decline over the next 5 or 6 years, with another small peak, and then a slight decline with some stability from 2010 to 2014. You can see in the middle school there was a little bit more of a decline in enrollment, and in that particular case, for the most part, we would have seen students at the middle level going down the road to Florenceville Middle School. You can see in 2015 there's a new line that's established, and that's with the two schools coming together. It goes from 2015 to 2018 there, with a high of 188 and a low of 142 for students. This is another look at enrollment, and in this particular case, we've looked at projected enrollment. So we're projecting numbers from beyond the current year. The number of students, the official number of students, which is that's psyching a lot of people out, maybe. Thanks, Mitchell. So this shows the numbers by grade level dating back to 2012, which, by the way, is the year that Anglophone West came into being through the amalgamation of three school districts. But it goes back to 2012, and it shows the enrollment numbers of K through to 8. And this year's official number, September 30th, is the date that we use for the official number. It's 128. We haven't announced that yet in a public deck meeting, but that's a spoiler alert. It's 128 this year for Bath Community School. We've made some projections for the next 5 years, and I'm saying we've made some projections. Actually, there were two sets of projections. One set of projections came from 5 years ago in the Ernst & Young study, those projections are in that big report. People may know that there was an Ernst & Young study, and there was actually a sustainability study of the two Bath schools from 5 years ago. But we're really pleased to say that this fall we've acquired a new software package called Berigar, and actually Sean, Daniel, and Sue got very specific training in this new package, and we were able to make revised projections, and this is is work just from weeks ago, because when we looked at the projections from the Ernst & Young report and compared them to the projections that we see from Berigar, we saw that the Berigar projections were likely more accurate, and that's because it was using more current enrollment data from the last 5 years. So this is new information to us. We didn't have the benefit, even as recent as the end of October in Florenceville, we didn't have the benefit of using this Berigar projection. When we went back and we looked, we noticed that the Ernst & Young projections and the Berigar projections for the two Florenceville schools were pretty close. With the Bath projections, there was quite a spread, and we see these more accurate. And these numbers reflect a higher projected enrollment than the Ernst & Young numbers did. A little bit of extra information about projections. There's a section in Policy 409 that talks about the quality of education programs and services, and we like to show the ratio that the FTE teacher, FTE stands for full-time equivalent, and you can see here that last year at the school we had 12.5 teacher complement. This year we have an 11.2 teacher complement, and of course the number of teachers that each school gets is based on enrollment. We go through an exercise each and every spring in preparation for the new year. But when we look at that, we can see there's one less classroom, one less homeroom at Bath this year compared to last year. And then you can see the numbers for administration, guidance, resource, and then there's an additional top-up. So that's a look at our FTE, the number of teachers that we have here in the school. When I talk about enrollment, the collective agreement is for teachers. It's a contract between the Teachers Federation and the province of New Brunswick that governs their conditions of work. And within that contract, there are maximum class sizes that are set. And this is a list of maximum class sizes. And when you think about K to 8, you can see that in K to 2, a classroom size can't have any more than 21 students. In grade 3, it's 26. Grades 4 to 6, it's 28. In grade 7 and 8, it would be 29. If there's ever a combined setting, then the combined class size for any grade between K and 3 would be 16, and any grade between 3 and 5 would be 23, and any grade between 5 and 8 would be 24. So those are some maximum class sizes. Here we have a student-to-teacher ratio. At this school last year, the student-to-teacher ratio was 11.36 to 1. This year it's 11.42 to 1, so it's a pretty good student-to-teacher ratio. We include the provincial staffing formula as well as the actual numbers, just for those who like to dive in a little bit deeper to see the number that a formula spits out, and then the number that gets finessed by a district before providing the FTE to the school. Last year, when we look at support staff, there were four educational assistants, four EAs that were here, an administrative assistant, a part-time school library worker, and two custodians. And if I flip to this year, it's almost identical, except there's one additional EA this year, five EAs instead of four. We count on this staff as well, an important part of the makeup of the school, very important roles to ensure we have a good, safe, positive learning environment. This is sort of an outline. It might be hard to see, but it's a bit of an outline of the programs here at Bath Community School. When it comes to French immersion, there is no French immersion here, the early program that starts in grade one, or the late immersion program that starts in grade six. Students who participate in French immersion from this community would go to school in Florenceville, Bristol. Gymnasium, we say yes, there is a gymnasium, but the official term for the room that we're actually in right now is called a multi-purpose room. So a gymnasium has, according to educational specification documents, and a gymnasium has certain measurements and heights with respect to ceilings and space. I can say that next door, if you recall, and I know many of us haven't been next door for a long time, that's what we would call an official gymnasium. We still call this a gym, and it serves the purpose of a gym, but if you were to look at the true educational specifications document, this would be known as a multi-purpose room. Music fine arts specialists, not here at the school. There is resource, there is guidance. We're projecting about 15 weeks of support from a literacy coach, literacy lead, and about 6 weeks of support from a math coach or lead throughout the year. There's no French immersion, so we don't see the French immersion leads coming in. We do have a science lead in our district who offers some support throughout Anglophone West, and it's projected that the science lead will be here to help out with the environmental showcase. No science lab, but there is a computer lab here in the school. This, Sue and I were sort of looking at this slide the other day, and I think we've used too many words to just explain what many of you would already know, that students from Bath Community School who enter the English Prime program, it begins in kindergarten. When it comes to French immersion, that entry level is grade one. So those from within the catchment area of Bath Community School who choose to stay in the English Prime program, then they continue to come to school here. If they choose the French immersion program, then they can go down the road to Florenceville Elementary School. The English Prime program, of course, is K right through to 8. And that's where students would stay, right here at Bath Community, if they're within this catchment area. Of course, once everyone is finished with grade 8, whether you're in French immersion or in English Prime, moving into grade 9, it's all schools feed into Carleton North High School from this catchment area. A lot of great special events, and special events that encourage community and school partnerships, and I won't necessarily read bullet for bullet, and in fact, there's an additional appendix if you wanted to read more. We wanted to keep it to one page, but there's so much more, and I know that the council, when you have access to this through our portal, you can press on that link and see so much more. But there's some great things going on here at Bath Community School when it comes to school partnerships, whether it was recent Remembrance Day ceremonies, the Shriners, breakfasts and lunch programs, McCain groups who are coming in to help, especially in the area of technology, writers in school program, different musicians coming our way. This school is really well known for contributions or participation in the Me to We program, and I know that students have gone to Halifax before, and now there's one in St. John. Music festival, Christmas concert coming up, lots of great things underway here that show that connection between school and community. There's the second page of them right there. The ELF program, which is a volunteer program to support kids in the area of literacy. TNB, the Calithumpians coming in. We've seen Roots of Empathy as a program before, a popular program that requires community support at times because it's expensive, actually. But a great program that will teach kids how to be empathetic through building a relationship with a baby. It's a really neat program. IBM partnerships with dietitians and department programs, heritage and culture. Knights of Columbus, Bath Lions Club is an important connection as well. All sorts of great things for you to look through. When it comes to student voice, very important to the council, I know for sure, and to leadership throughout the school system. When it comes to student voice, there's a student leadership group here, grades 3 to 8, where they can focus on student needs and wants, things like theme days and middle school dances and decorating, trips to the Air Motor Center in Woodstock. Communication, looking at the school improvement plan and setting goals with teachers. What a great way to engage kids, to have them be a part of the school improvement planning process. Purposeful play, some responsibility with recycling, student kindness, the civics government student vote. Seems like we have an election every year. Now we've seen provincial election and federal election, and next year is a municipal election, so lots of opportunities for learning there. Drama, Me to We, I'd mentioned that before. The annual talent show, school-wide reading buddies, and a multi-age grouping with jump rope. Of course, participating in providing feedback through surveys as well. The Our School survey is one of the most popular ones. This one I know you can't read because I can barely read it from here, but make sure you have a look on your sheet, and if you can't see it on your sheet, then it doesn't look too bad on the sheet, but make sure you click on it online, and it shows the provincial assessment results. And it shows a little bit of history for the school as well as the district as well as the province, so there's some comparison that can happen there. There's no longer provincial assessment at grade 2. There's been a pause with that, and they're examining new ways to assess students. When we look at assessments here in grade 4, English, math, and science, we're seeing some results that we would like to work on to see them climb, and when it comes to actual provincial assessment results. When it comes to grade 6, we're seeing a bigger improvement in grade 6 reading. In fact, a 92.9% success rate compared to the district in the province, which is at 60 and 71 when it comes to grade 6 reading. When it comes to post-intensive French, and math, and those two results in the mid-60s are ahead of the district and provincial averages. And when it comes to grade 6 science assessment, a bit below the district and provincial average. I'm always a little bit cautious when I talk about provincial assessments because it's a snapshot in time. In fact, the council will know that in November we had our, as a part of the annual planning cycle, we had our meeting where I presented, along with Sue and Diane Kay, we presented the academic results under that monitoring monitoring report. And when it comes to assessment of kids, it's one thing to take that single day snapshot in time, but it's another thing to lean on classroom teachers who are assessing kids and knowing kids throughout an entire year. So that focus on report card data and running records, to me, those assessment results tell a better and more accurate picture of how kids are doing. But a presentation such as this does call for us to include the provincial assessment results. There's definitely some school benefits when it comes to a small community school such as this, a smaller staff, very much aware of the needs of each other's classrooms and can support one another from day to day and often support students in other classrooms. So it's that small school feel. A great PSSC committee, home and school committee, strongly supporting staff and students. The core leadership team that focuses on school improvement goals. PBIS team, which focuses on the positive working and learning environment. So that's for positive behavior, where we're it looks like a team here that is really focused on that and using the seven habits of highly effective people as a template. School-wide kids matrix, kind, involved, dependable, and safe. So really working hard to establish that positive learning environment. PLCs, professional learning communities, they're ingrained as staff and meeting in teams at least once a week to discuss student concerns, needs, how the students are doing all together, talking about how they're teaching in class, instructional practices, student data, all things to help them keep on that path to improvement. As a K-8 school, there are some opportunities for older students to demonstrate leadership and mentor some of the younger kids on a regular basis. And then flexible grouping opportunities, that opens the door for all sorts of students when it comes to building confidence and growth socially or emotionally and academically. We, as a district, like to support Bath Community School as well. We see our coordinators coming out to support in the areas of social or emotional learning, enhancing literacy at the middle level, and in particular supporting adolescent readers. We have chosen Bath Community School as a participant in a literacy focus at the K-2 level, trying to increase that engagement of students in literacy. We have contributions from math and science coordinators, in particular a project with the math whiteboard tables, and maybe we'll see one of those as the council does its tour afterwards. And then, of course, the Early Childhood Center, called the Step Ahead. That's an active program here. The public school staff, K-8, get to know the kids that are coming this way even before they start kindergarten because of that strong program that's here within the school. Student services, a lot of good contributions and connections. Relationships between district and school to support the needs of students in the world of educational support services. sharing of the gym. The pre-K students, you know, have access to the gym, playground equipment, and can visit the office. So a good relationship there between preschool and the public system. There are some challenges, of course, as in any school. In particular here, a smaller population doesn't always allow for flexible classroom compositions. We know that the physical space is limited. It's an elementary gym. We call it a multi-purpose room. And I know that sometimes when kids get older, they're looking for something a little bit bigger. The library, it's not attached to the school, it's in a portable. We have a makeshift classroom that's been renovated. Storage and restrooms are shared with pre-K and middle school students, and there are no changing rooms for our gym. There are times when we see speech therapy that might be done in the hallways, just because there's not enough space, so it can be a little bit noisy or distracting. The integrated service delivery team needs to float between offices to find that right spot to work one-on-one with students in a little bit of privacy. Missing some office or private space for workers such as school intervention workers. Once again, when you're looking for that little quiet space to work one-on-one with a kid, it's not always readily available. So space is a big concern.
Mr. McTominay, excuse me, that's all related to this building.
That is all related to this building. Thanks. That goes back to what I mentioned earlier. That is related to this building. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. So speaking of buildings now, so this is where I'll talk about this particular building. School is a two-story, 1,870 square meter brick concrete steel structure. It was built in 1967. Originally had 11 classroom sized rooms. Now there's a computer lab, two others that have been reconfigured to allow for the accommodation of the Step Ahead Family Learning Center to stay within that school setting. The multi-purpose gym, as I mentioned, and a kitchen for a breakfast program, no cafeteria. One detached portable classroom that's used for music and the library. There's a floor plan. And now this is the original floor plan, so if you were to look closely at some of those words, they might not be the exact description as being used today. Upstairs and downstairs. Functional capacity, again, we're talking this particular building. The functional capacity from 2018-19 was at 68%, 68% being a number used to describe how full the building is. It's not a data piece that we would use on its own, because we know if one might say 68%, well, maybe there's enough room here, but we know that the 68% would also takes into account class sizes. So you know, whether you have a classroom with 26 grade threes in it, or a classroom with 18 grade threes in it, there's a difference there, and it all contributes to the functional capacity rating. Some building challenges for this particular building: no sprinkler system, no modern ventilation system. There is some asbestos on pipe fittings and floor tiles, which is within this building. It's being managed safely by trained staff, and every school is required to have an asbestos management plan. No elevator, the second floor is not wheelchair accessible. And then I've already mentioned the gym multi-purpose room designation. So the gym would be undersized by about 300 square meters compared to a typical educational guideline for middle school. There's been some capital investments into this building, about $500,000 since 2010, 2011, including a boiler, some work on radon remediation, roof replacement, which was a big one, $156,000 project back in 2010, 2011, and then some work on the building envelope. So, and Sean, the building envelope, that's like windows and that type of thing, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's about $185,000 into that. So it came out to $495,000 in terms of capital investments. You'll notice that that is from the year 2010, 2011, right through to 2014, 2015. And these last few years, we've been in a little bit of period of transition, right? Because in fact, this school was actually declared as surplus and by our council back in 2016, I'm going from memory, and but now, of course, it's making good use while the building next door isn't available for use. So these would be projects that we have in the hopper. If we were to have our way and could have every project that we wanted, there are four big projects there: a sprinkler system, a ventilation system, a security system, and replacement of flooring with here in the gym. Those projects amount to $578,000, and they're just a part of that capital improvement project list. The staff from our district maintains a priority list, and each year on an annual basis submits recommendations to the District Education Council as a final priority list to submit to government. Traditionally, each year government will allot a certain amount of money to each school district for capital improvement projects and major capital construction projects based on money available. This slide shows costs, again, associated with this building when it comes to facilities. So these are operational costs, things like electricity, water, sewage, garbage removal, snow plowing, heating fuel, cleaning supplies, minor repairs and renovations. The last fiscal year, that amounted to $138,000. There's also a global budget for instructional purposes that the principal manages. Last fiscal year, that amount was $27,000 for regular instructional purposes, but also for administrative support, teacher working conditions, nutrition, the bilingual learning environment, wellness, and co and extracurricular trips. A principal also has access to self-sustaining dollars, and that varies from school to school. And from time to time, too, the connections are made between schools and community and schools in the district where money can be found to take on special initiatives. There's also a financial piece when it comes to paying the salaries of our workers. The fiscal year 2018-19, that salary amount was close to $1.5 million. This takes into account teachers, principal, administrative assistants, library assistants, custodians, and educational assistants. This year it's a little bit lower, it's $1.25 million. And those salaries vary just because different collective agreements and teachers are in their career or where staff members are on a pay scale. So it varies from year to year. So if you wanted to quote a figure of how much does it cost to run Bath Community School in any particular year, $1.66 million would be the amount. Transportation is what we'll look at next. Students in grade 9 to 12 who reside in this catchment area, their bus to Carleton North High School. Bath Community School doesn't have a French immersion program. Students who want to be in French immersion, as I mentioned earlier, are going to Florenceville Elementary and Middle School. We have six buses that bring kids into this school from within the Bath Community School catchment area, and six buses that take them home. If there was a new school setting, then we don't anticipate any major change with that. I know you can't see that one. The longest ride in to Bath Community School is 48 minutes, and the longest ride home from Bath Community School is 75 minutes. The earliest pickup time is 7:14 in the morning, and the last drop-off time is 4:04 in the afternoon. The average bus ride time is about 30 minutes. When we look at distances, the average distance from home to the school is 6.6 kilometers. The longest distance is 17.3 kilometers, and the shortest distance is about 100 meters. So I'm assuming it's very, very close, right here. Part of policies 409 asks for the impact on the local community and economic development if there were to be consideration of changes to school dynamics. The Bath Community School is the main school within, it is the school within this community. Strong parent and community support, we've seen that time and time again in this community. When it comes to the impact on economic development and the local community related to movement of Bath Community School students to a new school, that's really not known by us at this time. We would see the community and businesses within the community as better equipped to share that information with council. So we're sort of counting on that happening in public meeting number two, if some stakeholders step up and make a presentation such as this to council. It'd be great to hear about the impact on the community if there was a change to the school dynamic. So to recap, the council is looking for making a decision under this main umbrella of status quo. Again, when it comes to status quo, we'll have to dig a little deeper. What does that mean? Status quo here within this building as a community school. Status quo as next door, which would need again the approval of government, who has decided to halt the project. Provision for repairs to Bath Community School. Once again, is that repairs for next door and a continuation of a project that's already started and was approved by government a few years ago and recommended by council 5 years ago? Or would that mean investment into this building? And then, of course, closing the community school and moving students to a new K-8 school, joining up with your neighbors down the road in Florenceville, Bristol. And once again, if that's a recommendation of council, then we would need to wait to hear from government about whether they would see that as a major capital construction project worth investing in. Yes, Andy?
David, we looked at the capacity numbers and the challenges from the perspective of this building.
Yes.
during the preparation of the material, did you look at the same type of information if it was the building expert?
So what in particular, like?
Challenges and capacity.
Capacity, there's more room next door. Money-wise, it's like there's a whole different story to that.
But if we were to complete the renovations as they were planned?
Yes.
Recognizing there's a cost.
Yes.
The challenges that exist here would be different from that school or this school.
The challenges to space would be relieved if we were next door. But then when you think of the school as an organization, as a body, as, you know, as academics, as staff, those types of things, the challenges and benefits would remain the same. But if you think in terms of building, that's a bigger building, more elbow room, bigger gym, that type of thing. When you think of challenges, the challenge that seems to rise to the surface is financial. Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you as well that I've been working on some reports to try and examine the financial piece, and I almost have those finalized, and there'll be reports that I'll present to you as a part of the study, and reports that we'll post for the public as well. On the sustainability site, where we examine the financial piece in greater detail.
Shouldn't the information from the other buildings be presented at the same time as this morning?
What other information are you talking about?
We've got wonderful, you know, 5-6 slides on all of the challenges and benefits of this building. There's nothing about the possibilities for the other building.
Well, I can tell you that if we had the other building, the benefits that would result would be more room, a better gymnasium, and overall better facility. Yeah, I agree with that. The challenge would be the money to finish the project, about $3.85 million to finish the project. We, as we did with the other school, because we talk about that K-8 school concept, we thought it was a good idea to share the ideas that come from an educational specification document, just so that people would know what a new K-8 school in New Brunswick looks like in the year 2019 or in the 2020s. So a typical K-8 school for 650 students. Would look something like this: 32 general instruction classrooms, 4 kindergarten classrooms, an early childhood development room, 2 multifunction classrooms, middle school technology spaces, a science room, resource and special care classrooms, student project work areas, music rooms, art room, performing arts and theater classroom, 2 gymnasiums, just under 600 square meters, with change rooms and ancillary spaces, guidance, visiting professionals office, student government room, a library, media center, cafeteria, kitchen, stage, recycling room, administration space, personnel center with a staff lounge and play areas and play field. And we've seen some K-8 schools being built recently, of course, Townsview and Manduxnikig, less than an hour down the road, our most recent K-8 schools in 2014. There's one that's currently in development now in the community of Hanwell. And the neat thing about when it comes to building a K-8 school, or building any new school once it's approved, is the creation of a committee that takes that educational specification document and then works through it bit by bit to try and fine-tune it specific for that particular community. And before we go to questions, I can tell you what happens next. We'll have the second public meeting on January 25th at 10 o'clock in this school. That will be the opportunity for stakeholders, the public, anyone of interest to come to the front of the room here and present to council, present to the public their thoughts on the sustainability of the school. There's a simple registration form, and we've left some copies at the door, so if you think you might be interested in making a presentation, please make sure you take a copy. For staff, I can tell you, I know it might put you in a bit of an awkward spot to present publicly like that, but by all means, we can ensure to have an opportunity for you to share your thoughts if you wish. Public meeting number 3 is on March 19th at Carlton North High School. That's where the DEC will make a recommendation on the school's future. And then if it's anything beyond status quo, then government has a decision to make. But in this particular case, even if it is status quo, government has a decision to make. So government's going to be involved in a decision, and they'll want to hear from the DEC, from the council, on their recommendations. Please make sure that you go to our website if you want to dig in deeper, if you want to read some notes, if you want to reach out and communicate further, those opportunities are available. Make sure that you check the website regularly. Even before Christmas, we're going to post some new reports, and they're there for your interest and for you to review and to ask questions about as you see fit and as much as you want to be engaged. Yes?
I have a question, just a clarification. You mentioned the $3.8 million. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I can. So, the information I have suggests that $4.7 million have been put into the project. The overall cost of the project would be $8.55 million, and the difference between the two is $3.85 million. That's where that comes from.
But I think what we've had discussion with the government is last in that. We can have this discussion later, but they canceled in last year's capital budget. The Higgs government canceled phase 2 of this project, which is 1.2 million. Mm-hmm. And that's, I believe that's in the numbers, and that's already been canceled. And then this year they canceled the rest of the project in terms of the renovations of the other school over here.
Right.
And the information that we're getting from transportation, which oversees the project, obviously. Is 1.5 million to 1.7 million.
Okay.
Projects. Sure. So, I just, to be fair to the public, I wouldn't want that number. I don't think that's an accurate number.
Sure. So,
what does finish the project mean at that? Finish the project as we're not going to complete our nation, and finish the project as the demolition that was.
Yeah, no, the finished project over here, the event for the Bath Community School, is in the 1.5, 1.7 million just to win and finish it, so you can turn the key and kids can go back to school. That's the number.
Okay. So,
if the project budget was what you said, 8 something, and they spent 4 something.
These are the numbers in anticipation of this meeting. I did do the check because I wanted to make sure I had it right.
Well, these are being told to the PSSC committee and the mayor in our meetings that with the transportation education was they canceled the 1.2 million part of that was phase 2 in last year's capital budget, and then they canceled the rest of the project in August 9th. And that the finish project was 1.5 to 1.7 million. So, and I'll stand by those numbers because those are the numbers that were conveyed to us in writing from the Ministry of Transportation.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to get clarification because, of course, my contact is with the Department of Education and Early Childhood. And I made it very clear to them that I would be standing here today and that this would be a question, and I needed to have it right. And so my contact provided me with these numbers. If there's something to sort out, then we should sort it out, because the public deserves the right to know, yeah, to know the numbers. Yeah. Yes.
I think it's worth pointing out that, just for you on that, in the count of phase two, but phase two was actually then most difficult.
Right. Maybe it's in the wording. Yeah. So it could. I'm talking about everything.
Right.
I'm talking about everything. So demolition. So if we look at the amount that's been expended to date, it's $3.4 million. The estimate to close out the project with the contractor is a little less than $1 million. The estimate to demolish and restore the site is $0.6 million. So that's where I come up with $4.7 million. That's already, I guess, committed to the project, and then an amount of $8.55 million to complete it. So those are the numbers that have been provided to me. If there's some kind, if it's an interpretation thing, then we should figure out what the interpretation is. I'd like to think that that if there's the difference in our numbers could be just an interpretation as opposed to what actual. Because I can't see them telling the community one set of numbers and me another set of numbers.
Well, you wouldn't think so.
No.
Stranger things have happened. And it's a demolition thing, too. They finished this building next door and left this one turned over to the public use. There's no demolition
cost. So that it's probably an interpretation then. Yeah. So do you have numbers that were presented to you in writing, like a letter or like how?
Yeah.
So it'd be good for us to compare notes, perhaps. Yes.
I just have a point of clarification. On slide on page 16 of your slide, maybe it's for Tracy to address this. There's a difference of like $300,000. In salaries, and with the loss of a teacher and a vice principal, that's a lot of cash for losing two lives.
Yes. Let me see. Have I gone back too far?
Bath Community School salaries page.
Yeah, so we pull these numbers, our budget and accounting manager pulls these numbers. I don't know the exact reason why, but I know that, depending that salaries for teachers range from, the 50,000s to the 80,000s, depending on beginning teacher and experienced teachers and level of education. If you look at the custodial changes, that and the education assistant changes, I know that we have one additional EA. The custodian one, Sean, why that's a bigger jump?
There was an absence.
Okay, an absence, so replacement costs, yeah, okay. There's always a reason, so these are numbers that are pulled right from the tracking system. And there's always a reason for it, and whether it's replacement costs, go ahead, Sean. Or
it's also based on fiscal year, which would encompass the end of one year and the beginning of another year. So there's a blending of both staff complement, they may be the same, they may be different.
That's right.
It's reflected in fiscal cost.
The fiscal year runs from April 1st to March 31st. Yes?
David, could you go back to the school challenges slide on page 11?
School challenges, should I go forward or backwards?
Backwards.
Backwards? Building challenges or school challenges?
School challenges. Okay.
I just want to point out to Andy's comment, if the building was finished next door, every single item on that list would be alleviated. If the building next door, outside of the financial aspect?
Yes.
If you finish the building next door, that whole slide.
Right. I agree with you. Yeah, they're all facility related, aren't they?
I think that's what I'm gonna want to focus on. Focus on our financial aspect.
Right. Yes.
Well, 4 years ago, we were in the same process.
Yes.
You and I had a great conversation around this. One of the things you kept telling me was to focus on the process and try to go through it.
Yes.
Which we did, and the staff that we did worked for the very PS. And I don't know if it's frustration or anger or what it is, but I find her agree with this, which was 4 years ago. And what I need to know is, really, there's one question. Why are we in this situation again? Putting our community through everything that we've gone through, which we know we're going through, going through presentations, as we did 4 years ago.
The
end result, let me finish, that was signed off by the administrator at the time, signed off by the debt, with a consultant working, being paid up to $75,000, so this is what needs to be done. And moving forward, into the process, and then saying, let's do this all again. So I don't know if it's you or Mrs. Douglas, I just like to understand that.
Do you want to do that one, Kimberly?
A couple of things happened. One is that we needed to look at this whole area. And some of us think maybe 4 years ago we should have looked at the whole area at that time. We were focusing on this school with the PCC members and at that time, and that's what we did. The other thing that happened is the premier said that we needed to study the school. Yes.
So if we want to study school, I'd like to go back to Margaret and also what Sean alluded to and Amy alluded to, is that in this presentation, all we really heard about is this school, current building. We heard nothing about that building. And as Sean said, that building fulfills the needs of this community. But we heard nothing at all about that building.
I think you have, Gerald.
Right? And I'm trying to focus on the next meeting and so on and so forth. We don't know enough about that and how much is being held up. And why? I know it's financial. And we're already know the numbers. But that building is fulfilling our needs, and we know it is. When we come to the next meeting, we can hardly talk about it if we don't have the information.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have the blueprint and the finances and everything for that building in addition to this building.
As it is now, not as it was before.
Right. So what we've said in this presentation is in terms of a building, that building is better than this building. And that was the original decision of the deck of the day and government of the day. So there's no question, there's no debate. If we're in that building, then the space is there. Where the debate comes is goes back to financial, and we've talked about financial as well. And there seems to be an interpretation that we need to sort out. It's uncharacteristic that we're back again now for sure. But as Kimberly mentioned, there are reasons for it. Yes.
I just want to clarify this because this is really starting to bother me about the chairman Ms. Douglas just mentioned that my understanding of Jeff and the district makes these decisions independently. Now we're being told that the premier instructed the deck to take a look at this school. That's not what was commented in the newspapers, and it's very, very alarming that the deck is being told what to do by the Premier of the province. I mean, there's supposed to be an independent education system in terms of administration and oversight. And the people in back there fed up with this action, and I'm representing the people in back there provincially, and I'm fed.
We weren't told that we weren't told we had to study it now this year, but the premier said that nothing would go forth until we did a study.
But as a result of the information put forward that this was going to be demolished.
Whatever the basis of that was on, I don't know. And that's not our argument. We're just here to look at the area and to look at the schools and to make the best decision for the entire area. It's not our argument what's going on in that building and what's not going on. We can't argue with DTI. We can't say that should have been stopped or it shouldn't have been stopped. That's not our, pardon me? Yeah, we already approved that school would be used. That was our decision. And the money would be invested to make it what it needed to be to move forward as what the community wanted for a school. The fact that was stopped, it was halted. It wasn't a question of we're going to wait. It was halted. That to me isn't even we're going to put a pause on this. And the tender went out to have it demolished. And then the premier came in and said, wait a minute, you can't do that. The district has to decide whether to close buildings or not. So we're here looking at the whole area, and yes, we will get the information on that building, and we will be looking at it, but that's what it is. Whether it's the best way to do things or not, that's what it is. Yes, it'll be up on the website as soon as Mr. McTominay has a chance to confirm and to check with the sources here and to make sure that his numbers are right, then that will be up on the website, those numbers.
And I wouldn't say we're arguing over it. I would say that you have some numbers that you've received, I have some numbers that I've received. We need to clarify interpretation and what those numbers include. It might be that we have the same numbers and we're just describing it differently.
I just want to make one final comment, Mike. I'm not going to go into this, but I understand your role. And I understand there's probably a lot of the deaf members who were here 4 years ago, and some. The passion and the people in this area putting that process 4 or 5 years ago was extraordinary. The staff, the community, that building over there was fantastic. People died in 2015. When they had their second meeting. And the people here sacrificed, originally they were looking at that building and they sacrificed and said, no, we should look at both buildings and find the best solution for that. The debt voted as a number one priority. The governor of the day put the money aside, started the construction, and it was supposed to be completed now for the fall of 2019. So it's not a reflection of any of the debt members here. There's a tremendous amount of frustration that's going to bubble out here over the next couple of months. And with the people in this area, that because once the school, as you know, is a focal point of this community, and with the Step Ahead program, it's very successful in doing all of this. It's very, very unfortunate that we're at this stage again, that we have to go through this process again. Because the premier said that we have to do the process.
That's only part of the reason we're doing it. We're doing it because we need to study this whole area.
But you just made a comment. You were told to study this area.
Yep. Yep. And we didn't say we had to do it this year, but we made that decision to do it this year because we wanted to make sure we do it right. We wanted to make sure we looked at the whole area. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I have. I feel that we're being put on the defensive here, and I believe that at some level we're all on the same side. We, as I pointed out, you remember when we started this building meeting today, we did this 4 years ago. I was part of the deck that did this 4 years ago. All this information is the same information that I heard 4 years ago. And we
had established that as a gap, we were going to study for a month over there this year as our last mission. When we found out about the planned demolition, because we found out about it the same way you did, just by rumor and innuendo and then confirmed it, we said, hey, wait a minute, we can't let that happen up there without an actual, like, whole process to study this. So the only way for us to move forward to get back on the agenda and the communities was to set up a study for the whole area. We just Kimberly pointed out we should have done 4 years ago. So we're going back and we're doing the whole area now, included in this school. We have already studied this school. We are doing work with the planning for that school. We already said that this one is open and renovated. So we're all on the same side. We have to come up with our own decision now based on all this information and the fact that the premier and the government of the day is going to demolish the building. I believe that kudos go to us to say, hey, wait a minute, we're going to stop what our plan was and we're going to come here and prevent that from happening, because we are very aware of how passionate this community is. We've had this experience 4 years ago. So I don't want to be on the defensive. I think that we're all on the same side. We're going to screw up with the numbers. We're going to confirm that. And hopefully, we're going to move forward. And all you people will come to us in whenever date it is with your presentation and maybe change a couple of slides so I'm not bored. Because I've seen them before.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Mark Ricker. I'm the editor of the Bugle. I have one question about the STEP program. What happens to that if the school is closed?
Well, it's not at the time part of.
It's a separate district, yeah.
Eventually, a few years down the road, the plans are that the early education will be a part of, but it's not right now. So.
And if the school does successfully transfer to the new building and renovate it, is the STEP program accommodated in that facility? Do your STEP programs in any other form help in our schools?
I don't believe
so. Any other question?
In the other.
The any studies? No.
Okay. Who was the question?
There's. That is the one of the early childhood. Senator. What is Senator?
She's an employee.
But not
Senator
a part of this. Not a part of this guy, I understand.
So my question is like a two-part question. Can the results of this, you know, this whole catchmere study, I'm not all catchmere study, can it be a two-part thing? You know, in the short term, can it be the recommendation to finish this school as part of it? And long term, look at a regional school? Is that?
Yeah, well, our options are there. If we made a recommendation to continue the school on the site, then we couldn't tie the hands of the future gap and say in the future. However, making recommendations that schools be closed and new ones built are just that, recommendations.
Yeah.
Because that's a future.
So could you explain that to my second part? If the recommendation is to close these four schools and build a regional school,
then we'll be able
where places, how do you determine the places on the list? Then the time frame.
That depends on the priorities for everything else that we have on the list, as well as this. So, and where we put them on the list doesn't necessarily mean the priority they will be addressed in terms of construction. So we have a construction that's finishing in Fredericton right now on Mount Street School, and I think that was our number 3 request the year that was approved. So we have to look at all of the needs in the whole district and weigh what's the most critical right at this time. And that's where we're going to have our list. And then DTI takes our request along with the other 6 districts in the province, and everything goes together and they come up with what they recommend.
end and then have new facades.
Yeah, so I guess that was my, I was alluding to the fact that the recommendation at the end is for Regent School. You know, current government and current constraints, financial constraints. What's within the community, there's skepticism on the way. Or if that's ever happened, Regent Schools and all Regent School. Versus status quo. And I guess the version of status quo is the community that would happen would be the Phoenix School.
Well, we could speak to that because it's my understanding that it was PTI that said no, we're not going to go further with that. So that would be out of our hands. And that Jack could not have a voice in that.
Yeah, if the decision was status quo for K to 8 over in next door, then there's another level of decision making that has to occur.
But your recommendation could not be just that.
Pardon me?
Your recommendation could not be just that. To recommend finishing that school.
That could be your recommendation, but what I'm saying is that that falls normally under status quo. There's no further involvement. It's things stay as it is. If we were to say status quo, but K-8 is next door, government has to decide whether they're going to continue with the construction or not. That's not a decision we can make.
We make a recommendation.
That's what these folks have to figure out.
Just another question in regards to the catchment area. So you made a decision based on including back these two schools into the new study. This I'm pushing from the premier, honestly. So, who made the decision then to exclude Centerville?
We did, based on the money that's been invested in that building in the recent past, and based on the distance travel for students. So,
and one more thing, the enrollment would have brought it up to 900 and something.
Right.
So, that made that full decision to exclude Centerville for those reasons?
Yes, I think you were in the 10.
So if the money is invested in the Central School, which that was done a few years ago, 15 years.
An addition in 2003.
So that was fine, but are you going to take in consideration at my point the money invested next door? Because there's a 4.7 ballpark money. Taxpayers' money has been invested in that school next door. Are you going to take that into consideration?
Take everything.
Yes, that's my point, and I hope you do.
It's clarity for me, because when we made our decision to do this study, we were using the information at that time that the project next door was canceled, and that the only way back was moving forward was within this building. So since that day, there has been conversation led by, I believe, community people here that have put pressure back on the government to consider resuming that project. So we are looking at our study with that possibility at this point.
At this point.
Right.
So you're not.
Well, it's our assumption based on the information that on the day that school is not going to be in the future.
So to clarify things, can we clarify this? Because you're not looking at that school as
well. No, I think when it comes to this sustainability study, we need to take into account both buildings, but if anything is to happen with that building, it's beyond the scope of our influence. We can make recommendations. So as a council, you might decide, you know what, we said in 2015 that we want K-8 in the old middle school, and that's what we recommend stays. You still have the authority to make that decision, but it comes as a recommendation now because government has the final decision on whether to continue investing the money to finish it.
That's the same as if you made a recommendation to go to K-8 school. Any recommendation made eventually is as
well. Absolutely, yes.
any recommendations.
But even with this project, even if it's signed out by a minister that is good, it doesn't mean it's going to go ahead.
Decisions can change.
The department hasn't delivered the deck or pulled the deck. It's not full schools.
It's within scope. When I think of that community school, I think of the school as a unit, as a group of staff and kids, and then I think of two buildings, which we don't know where the future lies.
We don't know the student population and staff in either building.
And the community, which is really, it's much our role. The elected officials and DTI who make these decisions, they rely on the decks to make the decision, assuming that we know more about the community and we and the facts that make us community. At least that's their excuse for getting us this. Anything else? If there are things that you're just not sure about after this morning, questions that you have, please send them in. Do our best to get answers to them and get them up on the site. If they are actual numbers and questions about the presentation or things that you didn't see there, then the district staff will work at getting that for you quickly. I have a question about why it takes 75 minutes to get kids home and 40 minutes to get them in, but I assume it has something to do with the hospital and the next
So we want information, what do we do? Send it to the district or?
You have information that you're searching for?
Yeah, searching for the
start through process. Send it to me, yeah. Yeah, I can tell you that I've been working on some cost analysis reports that I plan to have finished very, very soon. That'll be posted to the website. I'm going to try and clarify discrepancy in numbers that we talked about a little bit earlier. But once we post that stuff, if there's still something that you're looking for, just there's an email, isn't there, Judy? A sustainability study email. Yes, so either way, you know, it gets to us and we find the answer.
Because what if you're here, what happens to if it's going to take time, but if it takes this, you make it new. Or whatever, they're not mirrors.
This building is here,
right? This building here needs help for these kids. So that's going to be, and I know we're going to get into a second meeting, but I think we've got to understand that regardless of what the outcome is,
yes,
we're talking about years, maybe that one might be less than here, but the point is that this school still needs help.
Yes,
this is a building.
Yep,
you're
principal.
Because you saw the list. John, directly to something's going to be put in here first.
Yeah.
And just as I comment, we face that with almost every school that we said. So, yes, years if you want grade for your school. And in the meantime, the district keeps things going and it keeps things safe. And that's the condition we have. And I mean, elected to thank the staff for showing up on a Saturday. We didn't ask them if they would be happy with the sustainability service on Saturdays, so we decided to do this, and it's great that you were able to do that and be able to follow our roadshow. Thank you.